Hello and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. I am your host, Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, where I show you how to achieve your ultimate dream body on a 100% plant-based diet. Today is Friday, March 6, 2015. I want to welcome you to the show. I've got someone who we've had on a guest of the show before. His name is Ryan Nelson. Just a little bit about Ryan Nelson. He is currently the biggest professional vegan bodybuilder in the world. He is from Bighorn, Wyoming. He's played professional indoor football for the Fairbanks Grizzlies. He's the founder of Alpha Fitness in Minneapolis, Minnesota. In 2013, he received the Personal Trainer of the Year Award in Minneapolis. He's also placed in the top three in numerous NPC shows. Right now, Ryan is currently getting absolutely yoked out and shredded for another competition that he's just a few weeks out. And we're going to talk to him today about how to get absolutely shredded. We're going to go over how he's doing it right now so that you can model after him if you want to. So you can hopefully be just as yoked out and shredded as him. See, this is all about showing how it's done. Not talking about theory, not talking about different hypotheses. This is how real people are actually doing it on a vegan diet. And why not learn from the very best in the world? So that's what we're going to be discussing today with the man himself, Ryan Nelson. But before that, we've just got a few messages from, or actually one message from one of our wonderful sponsors.
Join our growing movement to rid your home of toxic chemicals found in products used every day to clean your house, yourself, and your children. We take the guesswork out of toxic-free living by making it simple to shop for replacement products that are formulated with all natural, organic, and toxic-free ingredients. We're committed to helping you make your home a healthier place to raise your family. You're invited to join the club and share the cause at healthyhomeforyou.com. That's healthyhome, the number 4, YOU.com.
Welcome back to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. So we have got Ryan Nelson on the phone right now. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Thomas.
Hey, listen, it's March 6th, and you're up in Minnesota. It's pretty freaking cold up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still pretty chilly. We're in the teens and 20s most of the time.
Yeah, so it's really important to be exercising on a regular basis just to be able to keep your core temperature up so you don't freeze to death up there.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, I want to can you give us a little recap of what the show is that you are competing for and how many weeks are out are you?
Yeah, so I will be competing in the super heavyweight class in the April 18th Gopher State Classic NPC show.
So April 18th.
In Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis. Okay, so April 18th, Gopher State. So if anybody wants to go out there and see you, all they have to do is look up Gopher State Classic, Minneapolis, April 18th, and they can go see you live in person, ripping it up on stage.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, excellent. So, and can you do the math for me? How many weeks out are you?
So tomorrow, Saturday, will be 6 weeks.
6 weeks away from, because I saw pictures of you recently. I mean, your vascularity is crazy right now, and you still got 6 weeks to go. What kind of body fat percentage are you looking to achieve before you get on that stage?
Well, last year on my calipers, I had 2.75 is where I was at, and I was really happy with where I was at last year, so I think if I get in that 2.75 area, 2.5% body fat, I'd be really, really happy to get in that area.
2.5. And where are you right now? So based on those pictures that you've been putting up on Instagram and Facebook, where are you right now?
I think I'm about 4% right now. So I'm close, but at the same time, this is the hardest part right here, is that last little bit.
So now we can, let's do some real math here. How much are you currently weighing right now, and how tall are you?
6'4", and right now I'm hanging around like the 235 area.
235 pounds. All right. Okay, so 235 pounds. So essentially, so every 2.3 pounds of fat you lose, you drop an entire percentage point. So that means you only got to lose about 4 pounds of total body fat. A little less than 4 pounds of total
body
fat.
Yeah, I'm planning on being around the two. I think I'll be around the high 220s, 230 area is kind of where I'm thinking where I'll be at. But in the end, I just want to be, you know, really shredded on stage.
Yeah, yeah. That's, well, this is great because you're so close and you're so far out. It's pretty much a nice, easy glide right into competition shape.
Yeah, it makes it nice to come in lean a little ways out so that you can make those tweaks and the little adjustments in your diet and be able to do it a couple times to make sure that that's how you want your body to respond when it comes to show day.
Well, let's talk about what you're doing. How so tell us the strategy that you are using, you're currently using for getting this ripped. I mean, 4%. Now, year round, what are you typically running at? What kind of body fat percentage?
You know, this year I went a little heavier than I have as far as body fat. I think I probably got up into the like 12% when I was at about 255 pounds. In full bulk around like December. And in that phase of my training, I was fine with that. You know, I of course didn't have quite the striations or vascularity that I do now at 235 pounds, but I was all right with that in that point of my training. And I think about 12% is where I felt comfortable going up to, but definitely get that feeling of like uncomfortable, like heaviness and, you know, going up and down the stairs is different and doing pull-ups and stuff like that is a lot different too. And then, you know, I think a spot that I can kind of hang around at is that 8 to 10 mark pretty easily.
Well, let's check this out. So for those of you listening, check this out. The math is pretty remarkable on this. So if in December Ryan was 12% at around 255 and now he is 4% at 235, then Ryan has lost a total of 20 pounds. When you look at the percentages based on his body weight, he has lost almost pure body fat. No muscle loss during that time. This has been pure body fat loss in 3 straight months of using his system. So this is awesome because what I want you to do, Ryan, is share what you did to achieve that so that anybody who's listening to the show can try to model after that and hopefully get very similar results. Because that's what it's all about. When we lose fat, we want to lose fat 100% from our body. I mean, when we lose weight, we want to only lose weight from fat. We want to lose no muscle at all. So let's go over how you did it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think probably a lot of the listeners will know what I'm talking about when I say that I'm carb cycling. But to break it down a little bit, it basically means I'm putting a large swing in my carbohydrate intake from sometimes day to day. But I, for example, Sunday, coming up this Sunday, I'll eat 250 grams of carbs, and I'll kind of have a set gram of protein and fat that I want to achieve on each day, but I'm mostly swinging my carbohydrates right now. And then Monday, I'll eat 160 grams, and then on to Tuesday, 110, Wednesday, 60. And then I'll start loading up the carbs again so I fill up for Saturday because I want to mimic the same swing as I will have in going into my peak week. So Thursday, I'm going to eat 450 carbs. Friday, I'll eat 500 carbs. And then Saturday, I'll eat 550 carbs.
550 carbs.
So right. I'll go with that swing and keep kind of trying to build on the carbs and try to take away on the carbs in the low end of it.
So this is
when it comes Saturday, when those glycogen stores are all filled up with your carbs, you look really full and good on stage. And I've found that the fat burning process that goes with the really low carb days for me kind of keeps going into your high carb days. So you almost keep your body in a fat burning mode all the time. But that Thursday and Friday and Saturday, you're able to eat pretty big with your carbs. So for me, it really works good to just totally shred fat away and maintain muscle good. And I've actually found that I feel like I sometimes build muscle well, being in deficit still those 3 or 4 days out of the week.
I want to make sure I got this down. So the cycle, this is pretty sophisticated because I've got you
very
down
sophisticated.
250 grams, 160 grams, 110 grams, and then 60 grams. So that's, you drop all the way down to 60 grams as your low. And then do you go straight from 60 all the way up into the 500 grams?
Yeah. Well, 450, 500, and then 550 on Saturday. But yeah, essentially right up to a...
Wait, hold on, sorry.
500.
I'm sorry. My memory, it's just my short-term memory really is, I have to write things down. So 250, 160, 110, 60, and then from 60 you go to, what was the number again?
450.
450. Okay.
Yeah, and then Friday is 500, and then Saturday is 550.
And then after 550, back down to 250, 160, 110, then 60 again?
Actually, so then the next week, I'll go to 250 on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will all be lower, 10 carbs lower than they were the week before.
Oh, wow. So
when
150,
I get down to
150.
Week, so when I get down to peak week, Sunday is going to look like 250, but then Monday is going to be 110.
110.
Tuesday is going to be 60. And Wednesday is going to be 10 carbs.
10?
Yeah.
10 grams of carbs.
Yeah.
That's got to be a miserable day for you.
Absolutely miserable.
10 grams. How do you pull that off on a plant-based diet? When
those days end up being just a few protein shakes. But is what I've found... is the change from such low carbs to high carbs on that Wednesday to Thursday is really tough on digestion. So is what I've started implementing in was on Wednesday, on my really low carb day, in the evening I start bringing some carbs in. So I actually have found that I have to load essentially 3.5 days of carbs instead of 3 days to be fully loaded up on Saturday. So I started to introduce carbs in Wednesday evening. So example for that peak week will be 10 carbs up until 5 p.m. on Wednesday.
10 carbs up until 5 p.m. And then after 5 p.m., what's going on?
And then I'm going to bring in 125 carbs.
Oh, interesting. So you're going to keep it at 10 for the majority of the day. So you've kind of split the day up into evening and then before the evening.
Yep. I've just found that transition between such low carbs and high carbs is just really tough on digestion. So if you bring in like some carbs in between that evening, it helps a lot in digestion. And when you put yourself through such a low carb day like that, sometimes it's hardest to go to bed at night because you're so hungry still. So those carbs kind of satisfy that and allow you to get a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. And for me, that made a world of difference in my whole week. So coming into this show lean has allowed me to make these very specific small changes in my diet.
So 10 carbs. So I want to find out how you're pulling off 10 carbs. Like, so how you're getting all your protein in without going over 10 carbs. And then I want to find out where you're getting your carbs from when you are eating the big amount of carbs. So let's go with the first question. I mean, first of all, how much protein are you getting in on your 10 carb day?
You know, on a 10 carb day, it's probably not going to be over like 150 grams of protein. At that point in the phase that I'm in of bodybuilding, I'm not at all worried about building muscle. So it's not like my body needs a lot of protein. So I'm probably going to keep it at a pretty minimal amount of protein as compared to, you know, right now I'm still in the 200, 250 gram range of protein.
Well, you know, I'm thinking here, just with the like I'm thinking of like the average protein shake. Like I've got a thing of Sun Warrior in my closet right now, and if I pull that out, I look at the nutrition label on the back, I'll get 20 grams or so of maybe 19 grams of protein for a scoop, but it comes with about two 2 to 3 grams of carbohydrates with that. So I mean, I can't even get 150 grams out of that, out of just the protein powder alone, without going over 10 grams of carbs. How are you doing it?
Yeah, you have to be with a very specific protein for that, actually. I found one that works pretty good for me. And I think for the most part, if you go with pea protein, it's really low in carbohydrates and pretty high in protein. So I think the go-to is pea protein when you're really concerned about carbohydrates.
And is there a particular brand that you like?
Yeah, there is. It's called Innate. Innate.
And can you get that online?
Yeah, you can get that online.
All right, cool. So Innate pea protein. And that's super low in
carbohydrates. 23 grams of protein, one carb.
Oh, man. Okay, so 23 grams of protein, one carb. And how does it taste?
It's good. It's vanilla. You know, my go-to kind of with on those low-carb days is make a nice tea and then mix in some coconut oil and do the Innate protein. And that's a great morning little drink. And you get fat, maybe a little boost if you have caffeine in your tea, and you get your protein. And it's super low. It's one gram of carbs.
And what kind of tea do you like to use?
You know, I've been on a little caffeine kick. So I've been doing toasted coconut high calf black tea that I've been doing with the vanilla protein and the coconut oil. It's pretty good.
A toasted coconut tea?
Yeah, I think it's toasted coconut, yeah.
And who makes that? I've never even heard of that before, but I want to try it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I got it right here. We might have, who makes it? High Calf Teas by the Republic of Tea.
All right, I'll have to look that up, and if we find it before I post this episode up, I'll put it in the description. For those of you listening, you'll be able to click on the link to it. That's okay, great. Well, hey, dude, thanks for sharing that. I'm gonna try it, and I'll give you my feedback on that. See how
I like
it.
Yeah, let me know about the vanilla protein and the tea and a little coconut oil in there. It's a great low carb morning choice.
So I'm really fascinated by your carb cycling method. It's pretty interesting. So you go from really high and you just go into this nosedive, but it's a steady nosedive. It's over the course of it looks like almost seven days or so, anywhere between 5 to 7 days. You're going all the way down till you hit a real deep end of about 10 carbohydrates, and then you pop right back up out of that within the same day. Go from 10 grams of protein, and then after 5 p.m., you add in another 100 or so. And when you're adding your carbs in, where are you getting your carbs from? What's your favorite carb sources?
Well, right now I've been going with a lot of sweet potatoes, as well as some rice, beans, a lot of lentils, and really this year added in a lot of black-eyed peas, edamame, and green peas, and probably more beets than I was eating last year. And those have seemed to be really good.
Right on. And I know, so, and what do you think about fruit for getting your carbs from?
You know, I don't do any fruit in my prep at all. I really like fruit, and I think it has a lot of great properties and antioxidants, but I just don't include it in my prep. Maybe a couple berries, blueberries or raspberries or strawberries, or maybe some raisins, but just not very much at all in my prep. I just find that the ratios in carbs to protein and fat is so carb heavy that it usually isn't worth it per se for me.
I've had the same experience. Whenever the leanest I've ever got was without fruit, and the more I'd avoid it, as much as I'm addicted and I love fruit, when it came down to body transformation to get as lean as possible, when I got the fruit out of the diet and I got all of my carbohydrates from vegetables, I got the leanest that I've ever gotten in the quickest time possible.
Yeah, I'm definitely not saying that you can't get lean on just fruit, because I know a lot of people that do.
That's right.
But I think to maintain a larger quantity of muscle mass, that having the vegetables more incorporated in with the cooked food, beans and rice and stuff like the lentils and the black-eyed peas, is better for maintaining the muscle and getting lean for sure.
Well, you definitely get more bang for the buck from a nutrient standpoint. You're getting more vitamins, you're getting more minerals, and you get more protein and more omega-3 fatty acids from beans and vegetable sources than you are from fruit, for sure.
Yeah, I know. I've been helping a lot of people with nutrition stuff lately, and I think from my experience as well as theirs, that, you know, sometimes cutting down a little bit on the fruit, it doesn't have to be long term, but just for a little bit, can really change your physique as far as how lean you are.
Yeah. Well, that's great. When I have discussions with people about fruit, the first thing they bring up to me is Freely the Banana Girl and the 80-10-10 folks that are doing high fruit with that type of plan. And my only answer to them is that I would go and consult those guys, because they obviously know how to get lean with fruit, but I haven't figured out how to pull it off. Now, at least I haven't been able to get to the lowest levels of body fat percentage with fruit in my diet. I've only been able to do it with vegetables.
Yeah, I've done it both ways, but I just wasn't able to achieve the mass and build the strength and muscle on a fruit diet as I am able to on my current diet.
Yep, same here. So again, I'm not saying that you can't do it. I'm just saying that I don't know how to do it. But there might be people out there that do. So I got another question about your training. So when you're cutting down and you're doing the carb cycling, what does your training look like?
Right now, I'm lifting 4 to 5 times a week, pretty intense. Usually two leg lifts and 2 to 3 upper body lifts. And then incorporate usually 4 to 5 days a week of cardio followed up by abs.
And so I remember the last time.
Last time I think we touched on it a little bit.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I remember the last time we went over in great detail what your workout routine was. And folks, if you haven't checked it out, just search on the veganbodyrevolution.com, just search Ryan Nelson. You'll see his previous episodes. We went over almost an hour going over rep by rep, exercise by exercise, everything that Ryan did. And during that interview, your workout was a solid amount of cardio before you got started, and you were doing the treadmill because you wanted to build up those calves. And then was it before you got started or after your heavyweight training workout? I don't remember, but then you would hit your heavyweight training, and then you were doing abs almost every single day.
Yeah, I don't really think that my training has changed too much. I think everything's pretty much the same as far as training. I think the one thing that has gotten a little bit more is my yoga practice has really improved, and I've been doing a lot more of that. So that's something that I've kind of been enjoying lately, kind of outside of bodybuilding maybe a little bit, is my yoga practice. And I found it to be very helpful in my bodybuilding, like I think I touched on last time we spoke.
Do you do yoga on the same days that you do your heavy training?
I do, yeah.
So if I remember correctly, and correct, or you can tell me if I got it right or wrong, because I remember you did some cardio and abs, and then you went back and then you go hit it hard with heavy weightlifting. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I've actually went to a little bit of an evening schedule lately, just with work, my work outside of bodybuilding and training people. I've kind of went to an evening schedule some days, and started training kind of like later. But other days, yes, I train midday, late morning. Like when we get done here today, I'll go hit some shoulders down at the gym.
But for those of us who want to model after you, you're doing cardio. And how much cardio are you doing?
So I always try to keep my cardio under a half an hour, no matter what it is, as far as like treadmill, bike, or elliptical, and usually incorporate some good intervals in it. And if I'm on the treadmill, I'll give it some incline for sure, because same as last year, I got to work those calves, and I find it's an incline treadmill. Incline running, period, builds calves, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. So you got that.
So I hit like 15 to 20 minutes of intervals usually with a warm-up and cool-down in there, and then follow that up with 20 minutes of abs.
All right. And then your heavy weight training later on, or you go right into that?
Some days yoga falls after now, and then the heavy weight training in the later evening, or some days the yoga's not there and the weight training is in the mid-morning, midday.
So if you're training up to about five times a week, how long are you training on average each session? Sounds like some days you're getting over 2 hours worth of training in.
Yeah, my morning session with the cardio and abs is in probably more than 45 minutes. My weight training session could be anywhere from 45 minutes to 2.5 hours. And my yoga practice is usually an hour.
So in the course of weeks, this is what I think is really, really interesting. It's good to know, because I love putting things into numbers. When we add up all of the time spent training, over the course of the week, if you're working out 4 to 5 times during the week, when you add up all the hours and minutes that you're spending training, it's anywhere between 8 to 10 hours by the end of the week.
Yeah, it's like a part-time, full-time, maybe job. I would call it full-time job after my full-time job.
This is completely consistent. Whenever I've done my transformations and I count the number of hours that I used to work out to achieve dramatic results, it averages out to about 8 to 10 hours per week as well. And it didn't matter if it was over the course of 5 days or spread out over 7 days or sometimes even 4 days, it's the total number of hours of high intensity training was in there. It was between 8 to 10. That seemed to be the sweet spot to get really rapid, significant results on a week to week basis and to keep it up. Whenever I dropped lower than that, if I dropped down to the average, where a lot of people, they're spending on a good week, they're spending 6 hours per week. I've seen this for myself, and I've seen this with clients, is they get results for a little while, but then it starts to plateau out. Have you seen the same thing?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you on the, finding the sweet spot, because I think it's going to be different for you than me and from me to the next person. So I think finding the sweet spot is like crucial for everyone. I know that I can push the training a little bit, like you were saying, or I can slack on it a little bit, like you were saying, and then I can kind of feel both sides, both spectrums of it, If I kind of start pushing the training a little bit too much, then I kind of feel I think the overtraining does come into play a little bit sometimes, and I think even just, being a year older, that I've started to notice that, yeah, you have to be smarter with stuff you do, and there is such thing as overtraining, but you've got to push it too at the same time. You've got to be on thin ice where you're not overtraining, but you're training hard. Now, some people, training hard, that might be 4 hours a week or 5 hours a week. So I think that finding the sweet spot is definitely key.
I always think of training, body transformation, as a result that you get when you manipulate two dials. And the two dials that I help clients manipulate is the exercise dial. You can turn that up or turn that down. And then there's the diet dial. You can turn it up to become even more strict, or you can turn it down and become more lax and loose about it. And whenever someone is not getting results, I've met a lot of people that get frustrated because they believe that no matter what they do, it's not going to work for them. And I find when we turn the exercise dial up and the diet dial up, we get the results. And it's just a matter of turning it up as much as it takes to force the results to happen.
Yep.
I mean, that's
Yep.
what you're
Pretty
talking
much,
about there.
I find that if the nutrition dial gets cranked, then you see results, period. But if you can bring in the exercise with it, you can do really great things.
Yeah. I've known people that have been able to exercise themselves into results. I knew a guy that ate like crap, but he put in so much exercise every single day, over an hour of resistance training, 3 to 4 hours of competitive cycling training, and he was able to be super ripped, shredded, and muscular at the same time, despite even eating mostly fast food and a crappy diet. What probably wasn't good for his heart and his health, but he was able to maintain an incredibly low body fat percentage with a high amount of muscularity. But with the and with the diet, people with like if you look at people that are on the raw vegan diets, just completely clean, eating the best food on the planet, you can see that even people that don't work out on a regular basis or that don't work out and train extremely hard, they look great. Their body weight is low, they're lean, their body fat percentage is low. You can see definition all over their body for the most part.
Yeah, I feel like a clean vegan diet is just going to put you at a body weight and physique that you're naturally supposed to be at.
But the
And
principle.
if you're trying to build, then it's going to allow you to build too if you nurture it right with the right foods.
The principle that I want to drive home, because this is there's so many guidelines out there about like how often you should work out, how many days a week, how much you should eat, so on and so forth. And a lot of people get bummed out when they follow those guidelines to the T, but they don't get the results that they would expect. When you brought up the point about everybody's different, you got to find the sweet spot. I think what's important and what's most productive for anybody listening to the show who might be stuck or you're not getting results as fast as you want is understanding how to find the sweet spot. And the sweet spot's going to move and it's going to change as you change. So it's a never-ending process of turning the dials up. You got to turn you got to keep turning the exercise dial up until you continue to get more results and more progress. And you got to keep turning the nutrition dial up until you get results and progress.
I would agree with that.
And sometimes it might be going from working out 3 times a week to 4 and 4 to 5. And it might mean working out from 30 minutes, high intensity to 45 minutes. And then from 45 minutes to an hour. I think it's an unfortunate, inconvenient truth for some people is that it's going to take more and more as you get more and more conditioned.
Yeah, and I think with that too, that if you got the dials cranked way up per se, and you're going all out on nutrition and you're going all out on exercise and you're starting to see good results and you get kind of start reaching some goals, then it's all right to turn the dials back for a little bit too, and maybe enjoy life and do a vacation or something like that. Heck, you can keep the exercise dial turned up on vacation. One of my favorite things to do on vacation is check out new gyms, run around town, do stuff like that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be logging and tracking all your food and macros and all that stuff. Heck, go out and check out some new vegan restaurants and stuff like that. Enjoy some of their food. In my opinion, I think that sometimes it's just important for us to be strict a lot of times as it is once in a while to have fun just to keep our sanity, Dieting really hard can be mentally challenging. So I think sometimes it's good after you diet to reward yourself with some good vegan food that maybe you don't track.
Well said. It's like climbing a mountain. You see those folks that are those extreme mountain climbers. you know, get the road to perfect body or fitness. It's almost it's a mountain that just never ends. It's really a question of how high do you want to go? And as you're making your journey upwards, it's okay to set up a base camp and hang out at a certain altitude for a little bit. And it's okay also to drop down a little bit. But the idea is to keep climbing up and to keep getting higher and higher.
Absolutely. I know that just from my progress over the last 16 years, I've been in spots before where I've been stuck, and I've been in spots where I went backwards, and I've been in places where I've made great changes. So I just know that you have to be patient, and if you can have a goal on your mind, it's probably the most beneficial thing that you can do as far as seeing change and making big changes in the gym and in your physique, because I feel like if you don't have a goal, you just don't really have anything in mind that you want to achieve. So I think finding a goal is a really important point to touch on too.
That's right. That's right. It's clarity equals power. The more clear you are, the easier and faster you'll be able to achieve what you want. Awesome job. Hey, thank you, Ryan. I really appreciate it. Can you, I want you to let my audience know what you've got going on. How do they reach you? How do they work with you and train with you if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, actually, the best way to connect with me probably is through email, which is alphafitness@aol.com, or through social media. On Facebook, you can find me Ryan Nelson. Instagram, I'm AlphaD307, and Twitter is the same.
Cool.
AlphaD307.
Thanks. And
yeah,
what we'll
I would give you my website, but I'm getting it redone right now, so it's under construction.
No problem.
But
no problem.
When we do our next show, after I get done with my show, then I'll give you my website.
And then you know what we'll do, Brian, is so anybody who's watching, what I'm going to encourage you to do is friend or follow Ryan on Facebook, and you'll obviously get the update as soon as his website is up. But Ryan has lately been putting up a ton of really, really cool inspirational photos of himself as he's getting more and more lean and shredded for his show. He's also putting up a lot of videos lately, more than I've ever seen before. So, Ryan, you've become someone that I recommend other people to follow who's into vegan bodybuilding and that wants motivation, inspiration, a lot of good tips and advice, because you've been sharing a lot of really good stuff. I want to thank you for that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just been wanting to get a lot of information out there for people to see, because I know a lot of times in the past I've posted and haven't maybe included all the information, and I figure I should just get it all out there for everyone to see and learn from it and try it themselves.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. So what we'll do is we'll have this episode up, and when I do, I'll have a link to all of the stuff that you mentioned, so your Facebook page, your Instagram page, and your email address, so people can contact you directly, and it'll be on veganbodyrevolution.com with a link to the episode, so people can hear that as well. And Ryan, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to share with our Vegan Body Revolution fans what you do and how specific you got, man. I really appreciate that. The carb cycling, this is really, really cool. For those of you who decide that you want to try something like this out, please send us your results after a couple of weeks of doing this. Did you lose any body fat? How much weight did you lose? Did you notice some inches going down? How'd you feel on it? Did you feel strong? Do you feel more muscular? Let us know how it goes for you. We want to know, and Ryan might even chime in. You can post your results. You can post your pictures up over at veganbodyrevolution.com. You can go to Facebook. Go to facebook.com/veganbodyrevolution. Right there on the fan page, you can post that up right there as well. I'll be happy to post that for you. And I think that's it. Now, I've got a couple announcements to make too. This is about those of you who are vegan, who are really curious about learning to be better at cooking vegan food. The Natural Epicurean Academy of Culinary Arts, that's where we did our Metabolic Mastery Intensive last weekend. They are having an open house tomorrow, Saturday, March 7th, right at 1700 South Lamar Boulevard, Austin, Texas. And at 10 o'clock, they're going to be doing a knife skills challenge. At 10:20, they're going to be doing a food demo. 10:40, they're going to be doing a presentation. They're going to do some Q&A interviews. And they're also, what else they got going on? Oh, yeah, 4 o'clock, they got another thing going on. Welcome, a presentation at 4:05, and some more Q&A. So check them out. Go to naturalepicurean.com and you can be invited to their open house, 100% for free, 100% for free to the public. Pretty awesome stuff. Loved doing our seminar there, and we just had the greatest vegan meals that we've ever tasted there. And you can learn how to do that, too, in your own home. So I think that's about it. Listen, folks, I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. I want to thank you, Ryan, for coming online, sharing us your experience and your knowledge as well. Visit veganbodyrevolution.com, get all the free courses, get all the free information, stay updated on what's going on. And this is your host, Thomas Tadlock, from the Vegan Body Revolution Show, and I will catch you on the next podcast.